And let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a God of mercy. You are a God of mercy and a God of grace. And you extended that mercy and that grace to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we remember him this morning, that by your grace you would enable us to remember him well. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to John chapter 8. John 8. As you're doing that, think about this. What is it about a person's testimony about themselves that makes them believable, that makes them credible, that makes them trustworthy? In this passage, Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and these are a group of men who have no understanding that Jesus' testimony about himself is believable. Let's read verses 12 and 13 together of John 8. And as we do that, I would ask you to take note of two different things. First, take note of what Jesus' claim is. And secondly, take note of the response that the Pharisees make to Jesus' claim. Starting in verse 12, John writes, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true.'" In verse 12, Jesus claims to be the light of the world. The light of the world. He's saying, "I'm the one. I am the only one who reveals things to be exactly as they are. I and I alone am the one who understands the degree to which the sin of sinful mankind is an offense against a holy God. And I alone have the ability to redeem sinful man to that holy God, to put him into a relationship of peace with that holy God." And this is an astounding claim. This is a claim that is very, very offensive to the Pharisees that he's talking with, because they believe that they and they alone have the true knowledge of God. And so, in keeping with their own self-grasping nature, they state their objective to Jesus in verse 13. And their objection is this. They say, "We have no reason to believe you." And they say, "You don't even have anybody who will confirm your own claims about yourself. We have no reason whatsoever to believe in you." And Jesus responds in a way that only he could respond. He responds in a way that gives ultimate credibility to his witness about himself. And he does it three separate times. He does it in verse 14, he does it in verse 16, and he does it for a third time in verse 18. And what it is he points to the Father's commissioning of him to send him into this world. In verse 14, he says, "I know where I came from. I know where I came from." And in verse 16, he refers to the fact that it was the Father who sent him here into this world. And he says the same thing again in verse 18. So Jesus is saying, "I was sent here into this world by the Father, and I was sent for one purpose, and that is to reconcile sinful man to a holy God, to give man the ability to see his spiritual condition as it truly is. That is why I was sent here." A few verses later, Jesus is very clear further about that reason. Drop down to verse 24. You see that Jesus says, "Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And the he that he is talking about here is the Messiah. It's the God who took on human flesh, who went to a cross, and he went to that cross to die in place of everybody who had placed their trust in him, that he could do something for them that they could not do for themselves. And that is to satisfy the Father's anger against them because of the sin that there is for them against the Father. And Jesus said, "Unless you believe that about me, unless you believe that I am that Messiah, you will die in your sin. You will absorb the Father's anger against yourself when you die." So, Christian, could there be any more compelling evidence, could there be any more compelling proof that Jesus is the Messiah than this? The Father sent him into the world to be the Messiah. That, to me, is compelling proof. And that's what we remember Jesus for this morning. So if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, if you understand him to be the Messiah, would you join us in taking the elements today? As the elements come to you, take them and hold them and ponder God's goodness and kindness that he would send his only son into this world to die for you, to suffer on your behalf. But if there's some area of your life, Christian, in which you look much like the world who is walking in darkness, an area of ongoing sin, you take this opportunity to be done with that sin, to repent from that sin, to turn from it, to confess with the Lord about that sin, agree with him about that sin, turn from it, and then take the elements in a worthy manner. If you're here and you're like the person that Jesus describes in verse 24, if you're like the person who does not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, if you have your own ideas about how it is that you will have God have mercy and have compassion on you, please take a minute to consider the claim of Jesus that he makes back in verse 12. He says, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness." To follow Jesus is to submit to him as master over your life, every area of your life. To submit to him as master of your life because you believe that he did something for you that you could not do for yourself. And that is that he suffered and satisfied the full wrath of the Father against you, something that you would spend an eternity in hell suffering for yourself. If you would do that, please join us in taking the elements today. Otherwise, when the elements come to you, just pass them to the person next to you. This is a time for Christians to remember what Jesus has done for them. So men, would you come and serve us? Take the elements on your own when you're ready.